So the title of my presentation is An Intervention to Address the High Prevalence of Food Insecurity and Hunger Among a Primarily Latino Low-Income Patient Population in Chelsea, Massachusetts. And I hope that after this presentation, you will all learn a little bit more about the impact food insecurity and hunger have in this community, as well as some intervention strategies the program uses to remediate those issues. So let me begin. What the hell? Oh, no relationship to disclose, just for those of you. Okay, so let me begin by telling you a little bit about how the Food for Families program started. Food for Families began as a research study back in 2003 in the Department of Pediatrics. And the research study was headed by Dr. Ron Kleiman and Dr. Michael Murphy at Children's Hospital Boston. There are two pediatricians over there. After the study ended in 2009, it later became a permanent screening program within the primary care departments at MGH Chelsea Healthcare Center to identify patients and families who are experiencing food insecurity and hunger. And there are two aims. The program has two aims. First one is to connect patients with local and federal resources, and the second one is to promote healthy eating on a budget. So what is food insecurity? I know Wendy touched on this on her presentation. Food insecurity is the lack of access to enough food to fully meet one's basic needs. It's simply a measurement of the availability of food and one's access to it. And the reason why we focus on food insecurity in Chelsea is that it tells us if patients and families are not able to get the food when they want it, and if that's the case, it forces them to buy cheaper and poor quality foods. So a little bit about the city that I work in, Chelsea, Massachusetts. It's an urban, dense city right next to the city of Boston, where poverty rates are more than double the statewide average. It's home to a large number of refugees from distinct cultures, and most of the refugees that we're seeing are coming from the Middle East, countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan. We're also seeing refugees from Central Asia, newly arrived immigrants from Bhutan, from Nepal. And we're also seeing refugees from East Africa, countries such as Somalia and Tanzania. And Latinos comprise more than 48% of the population, and over 58% of residents speak a language other than English. And the majority of the Latinos that we see in Chelsea are from Central America, especially countries such as El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. So a little bit about Chelsea. Chelsea is made up of six neighborhoods. Five out of those six neighborhoods are classified as poverty census tracts, meaning that 32% of households with children in those five neighborhoods are food insecure. And that means that the prevalence of hunger is six times greater in those neighborhoods than the statewide average. I just wanted to make that clear. So it's pretty significant. So a little data from the program from the last year. These are patients that were screened by Food for Families in the last year. And we work with two departments, pediatrics and adult medicine at the health center. So as you can see, there were 5,318 total screens in the Department of Pediatrics. Out of those, 1,070 were positive for food insecurity. So families, pediatric families screened positive, and there were 1,070. So that means that 20% of pediatric families that came through the program are food insecure. Now, in adult medicine, there were 3,839 adults who were screened, and out of those, 834 screened positive for food insecurity. So that's 22% of adults coming into the program that are food insecure. So that's pretty significant. And that's only in 1 year. So October 1st of last year till this year, till September 30th. So why are people food insecure? There are many reasons why people are food insecure. But the top five reasons that I'm seeing in the program are these. Unemployment. According to the Department of Labor, 10.5% of residents in Chelsea are unemployed. So there's no jobs, you can't put food on the table. It's a problem. Limited education and or lack of English proficiency. So majority of the residents in Chelsea don't speak English. They speak a language other than English. And they have limited education as well. And I'm gonna talk about it in a little bit. Undocumented status. We have a big problem in Chelsea with people who are ungodly. Big, big problem. So it's hard to find work. Unstable life situations such as domestic violence, homelessness. We see all these issues in Chelsea. And the last reason is chronic illnesses. So in the program, we see many patients with diabetes. Okay, and as you know, patients with diabetes have strict dietary guidelines. So if a patient with diabetes is food insecure, then they're not going to be able to buy the food that they want because it's too expensive. Okay, so those are all some reasons why people are food insecure that I've seen. So some more data that I wanted to share with all of you, and this is the level of educational attainment from patients that came to the program within the last year. 40% have less than 8th grade education, 20% have some high school education. So that means that 60% of people that came through the program do not have a high school degree. So a little bit about the immigration status, citizenship. 64% US citizen. And most of the parents that I'm seeing are undocumented, but their kids are US citizens. The kids were born in this country. 27% are other, meaning that they're undocumented. And 9% are LPRs, which stands for legal permanent residents or green card holders. And like I mentioned before, it's obvious that, you know, Latinos make up the majority of the population. So 63% of patients that came through the program are Latino. So I wanted to share with you this graph. And there's a big, like I said, there's a big problem with food insecurity in Chelsea. And in a way, it mirrors the national trend. So if I show you the total US households from 2007 through 2008, there was a 5% increase. Okay, and that is significant. But what we want to concentrate on is the Latino households, Black households, and total US children. And as you can see, there's a much steeper incline between those three populations, and that's what we have to concentrate on. So I just wanted to show you this graph from 1999 through 2008. So now let me tell you a little bit about how the program actually works. So the strength of the program hinges on the use of a validated, universal, two-question screening tool that is given to all patients upon arrival for routine appointments, in all three medical departments. So we work with pediatrics, adult medicine, and obstetrics. So once the patients get screened for food insecurity, and we're seeing approximately 176 positive screens per month between all three practices, they get a follow-up phone call, okay, for those that said yes, that they wanted to speak to someone about food resources, that they're in desperate need. And out of those, so after the phone follow-up, they get a needs assessment. I usually do an in-depth interview with the families, and we're seeing about 55 new visits per month, okay? So on the right-hand side is the assistance and intervention that we use with all patients that come through the program. So for patients that do not qualify for food stamps or SNAP, there are food pantries and hot meal programs in Chelsea that I work with very closely. And that is obviously a problem, especially families who cannot apply because of illegal, you know, undocumented status or over income. Those are the two options. Now, we also have a food source hotline. And I don't know if you're familiar with Project Red. Project Red is Massachusetts' leading anti-hunger organization, and we work very closely with them. And they have a toll-free hotline that patients can call for free for more information. So if they don't live in Chelsea, they live, you know, in Worcester, or they live in another city in the state, they can always call this number for more information. And we also have grocery gift cards for those patients who do not qualify for food stamps, who are in desperate need for food. And those gift cards are funded by Project Red. So we have a very, very close partnership, very close relationship with this organization. And we also do SNAP screening, SNAP applications in the clinic. And in the past year, I basically needed help. I couldn't do it all by myself. So we have two outreach workers that come once a week to do food stamp applications. And that's been a great help because it's just, you know, I'm just one person, so it's just too much. And then the USDA programs, such as the WIC and school meals, those are also very helpful. Okay, so as you can see, the green are the sustained resources that we want to try and keep, and the orange are the emergency resources. Okay, so this is the fun part. So a new strategy that I have been implementing, or that we've been developing over the last year, is this concept of healthy eating on a budget. And there are two ways that we're doing this at MGH Chelsea. There's a nutrition and cooking course, and there's the Thumbs Up for Healthy Food Choices booklet. So let's talk about the cooking course. Not sure if you've heard of Share Our Strength, Cooking Matters. It was formerly known as Operation Frontline. And they are a nonprofit organization with offices in 30 states. They're huge. And their goal is to teach people how to be healthier on the budget. That's all it is. So what I did back in May, I piloted a 6-week course with 16 women, all Spanish speaking. The classes were translated into Spanish. And it was a great success. It was a big hit. Okay? The women got evaluated in the beginning and at the end of the course. And these are some quotes that the participants said right after the course. And I just wanted to share these three with you. So one woman said, after the class, my family now uses the nutrition guide to better make food choices. The second participant said, our field trip to the grocery store was an eye-opener. I never thought of reading the ingredients first and then making a decision whether to buy it or not. And then the third woman said, this class taught me different healthy recipes, and my kids now love helping me cook and prepare. So that just shows you right there that that this class worked. And we're continuing to promote this. We have another class coming in January that I'm organizing with a different group of women. So the other way that we're promoting healthy eating on the budget is this booklet that I brought for everybody. I have copies, so if everyone wants to take one. It's called Thumbs Up for Healthy Food Choices. And it's a booklet published by the Neighborhood Health Plan. And it's a simple guide that just teaches you what foods are good for you and what foods are bad for you. And what's good about this book is that it's bilingual. It's in English and Spanish. And it targets patients with low literacy. Okay, so a lot of the patients that I see in the clinic don't have an education, so this book is just great. And like I said, I have copies for those who want to take it home. So this is the booklet. It's the front page and the back page. And it's very simple. Thumbs up and thumbs down. So the foods that are good for you have 3 thumbs up, and the foods that are bad for you have 3 thumbs down. And I wanted to show you a page from the book. It talks about cereals. Okay, so on your left, you see the cereals that have high sugar and low fiber. And on the right are the ones that I usually tell people to consume or to buy or to at least try. And those are the ones that have high fiber and low sugar. So when the women come to me and they talk to me and they see this, they're like, oh my God, I'm feeding my kids Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops and Corn Pops. They just don't know. So this tool is great. Because it's simple and it's just, you know, goes straight to the point. So some of the future goals of the program. So the program is expanding. We're doing a lot of work at the clinic. We want to continue targeting new patients that are experiencing food insecurity and hunger. And we also want to expand the Cooking Matters course to other populations, such as teen mothers, parents, and kids. I know Cooking Matters, they have a curriculum for parents and kids. They have a curriculum for diabetic patients. So I think they're great. And I also wanted to mention that we think that this is a critical strategy, the cooking course, for avoiding food insecurity and promoting, you know, health in the long run. Okay, so thank you very much. Any questions? And that's my contact information. Questions?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Right, so there's 2 questions that I can mention. The first question is, in the last year, has anyone of your family members experienced hunger or food insecurity? So basically, have they ran out of money for food? And the second question, so it's a yes or no, so they just circle yes or no. The second question is, do you want to speak to someone about food resources, healthy eating, the budget? So the patients, they just have to circle yes or no, yes or no. And we have that school in multiple languages. Okay, we have it in Bosnian, we have it in Somali, we have it in Russian, Farsi, Spanish, English, Portuguese, we have all of them.
So for the help one, if they want help, is somebody available with all those languages?
That's, I think that the only thing is English and Spanish. And that's
worked with Mike Murphy and Kleinman, so we're aware of the program and we think it's a very good program.
And they started the study and came out and published this song using the same screening tool that we use.
I just have a follow-up question on the screener. Is it given to the patients when they arrive?
When they arrive.
Now, what if they can't read? Because you had such a low...
So the receptionists, the ones that give out the screens, they usually put illiterate or cannot read.
And then
so
I usually give it to them?
Yeah, somebody will call. Okay. And the tool has their MRN number, their medical record number, so with their DOV and their name, so in case anyone wants to look at that is. So. Yeah.
How in your multicultural setting are you targeting, feeding the multiculturals? Puerto Rican won't be washed and the Russian is not going to eat that placenta.
I know, so we do have a food pantry that caters to Muslim, the halal, the kosher, in Chelsea, because we have a big Muslim population in Chelsea, especially from Iraq and Afghanistan. So we hang out with that. A lot of them don't like it, but it is available to them. And then the other thing, we see a lot of Central Americans. We don't see, you know, we see Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, but they all left Chelsea. So now it's the majority are all Central Americans, and they're struggling. You know, I see it every day, paying bills, paying rent, a lot of them can't pay their rent. But thank God there are a lot of resources out there for them, and thanks to Massachusetts, which is a very liberal state. Thanks for that. So. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you. And our final speaker is Sharon Coleman. She has an MPH in epidemiology and biostatistics from Boston University.